Luke chapter number 1. Let's begin our reading for verse number 26. The Bible says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said," now notice that, we pointed this out, as he begins, he approached her, now he's beginning to reveal to her God's plan and God's purpose for her life. Okay? He's fixing to just lay it out on the line. And I'm glad, as we've stated before, God is a God of communication, and He is able to get to you His knowledge of His will, and He's able to communicate that to you. And He begins in verse number 28, "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God," somebody better hear this verse this morning, it's heavy in my heart, "for with God nothing shall be impossible." Nothing shall be impossible, but that's not the first part of the verse. You got to have the first part of the verse before the latter part of the verse can be true. For with God. For with God. That is, you better incorporate Him in your valley. You better make sure He's involved in your fight and in your trouble and in your adversity and the things of life. For with God. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Verse 38, "And Mary said," our text verse, "Mary said," after hearing God's plan and purpose for her life, after being exposed to God's will for her life, Mary said in verse 38, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. And we'll stop reading right there, because we're going to preach out of verse 39 and 40 and right down through these verses here in just a little bit. So we'll read these verses a little bit later on as the Lord will help us. I would ask you to pray for us, please. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name to the throne of grace. And Lord, we just have to say, to God be the glory. And I want to thank you, dear Lord Jesus, for allowing us the privilege, dear Father, to come into the week, Lord, where I will celebrate my birthday 30 years ago this Thursday, I believe it is, that I have been saved 30 years. And Lord, I want to thank you for that, the 20th. Lord, I just ask now, God, you to help us to go forward and press toward the mark and learn from life's lessons, and help us, Lord, to desire to do more today than we've done yesterday and that we've done days past and years past. And Lord, someone asked me about the 30 years, and it's just as a blur. It's just as a vapor. It's just almost just like it was yesterday that I got saved by your good grace. And Lord, I want it to always stay fresh in my heart. And I pray, dear Lord, that you'll help me now as we step in this pulpit and be your servant and be your mouthpiece. And our Father, I desire to be used this morning. Lord, I want to be used of God today. Lord, I don't want people to hear the voice of a man, but I want them to hear the voice of God. Lord, if all they hear is me, Lord, they'll get in their cars, same shape or worse, Lord, somehow or another you could speak to us today. Lord, it'll make a difference because your word is power and it's spirit and it's life. And Lord, I'd ask now that you'll help us to preach, Lord, your message. And we'll give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. What difference would it make in our life if we would say to God, not just once, but continually, be it unto me according to thy word. Lord, I want your will. I don't care how big it is. I don't care where it is. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it involves or what it is, what I have to give, what sacrifices that are attached. Be it unto me according to thy word. Because I know, Lord, what you've exposed me to is your best. Boy, if you'll think about that, you won't say no to it. It'll be the best that God has when he exposes you to his will and to his word. And she said, be it unto me according to thy word. But she'd have never said those words had not she identified herself as a handmaid. If she had never took the position of a servant, if she had never took that position and that identity of a selfless, if you will, a selfless slave, willing to serve another, willing to carry out the will of another, you'll not be interested in saying to God, I want to experience what I've been exposed to if you don't become a servant. Because the will of God is service. Hello? The will of God is service. But she got to that place, and behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. I just felt like I ought to comment right there. When she said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, it's not a question this morning of whether or not you're a servant. That's not the issue this morning. That's not even up for discussion. Are you a servant? The question at hand is, are you a handmaid of the Lord? Are you a servant of the Lord? You're serving. Everybody in here is serving. You may be serving the flesh. You may be serving self. You may be serving sin. Let not therefore sin reign in your mortal body. Don't become a slave to sin. And sin will make a slave out of you. Amen. Sin will be your master. You can't never, listen, I don't know why I'm preaching right here, but I want to tell you this, you'll never master sin. You'll never master it. It will master you. You say, preacher, I can just tiptoe around the edges and I'll just stay in the shallows. You'll be the first human being on planet Earth that's ever contained it and been able to handle it. You can't handle sin. It'll handle you. Don't be a servant to sin. Don't be a servant. That's what you were when you were lost. And if you're here today and you're still lost, that's what you are. And if you're a servant of sin, that's a definite declaration that you are not saved. Is Jesus your master? Or is sin your master? Or is flesh your master? Or is the world your master? She would have never been interested in the experience of God had not she took the place of a servant. I know we've preached on that, but I felt God wanted me to emphasize that again as we hit it right there. Be it unto me according to thy word. And I'm preaching a series of messages on turning exposure into experience. It is the need of RBT. It's the need of our church collectively. It's the need of every home in this church. It's the need of every couple in this church. It's the need of every young person in this church. It's the need of the preacher, my friend, to say to the Lord afresh and anew, I want to experience what I've been exposed to. Well, you think about what you've been exposed to. I'm talking about right here in RBT. You think about what you've been exposed to in your home. Many of you have got something you can claim and praise God for that a lot of people can't. That is, you've been raised with Christian influences in your life. You've had a Christian parent or parents. You've had Christian grandparents. You've had aunts and uncles and relatives that exposed you. I was exposed to God before I was ever born. I went to church 9 months before I was ever born. Why? Because I had a Christian family. That brother going to church was not a discussion. It wasn't an option. It was a commitment, a dedication. It was our life. Are you listening? I want to say this morning that we're looking at that, turning experience into it, or exposure, turning that into experience. Walk it, what you've been taught. You know, what's been revealed to you is exposure, but what's real to you is what's experienced. And boy, it's the need of the hour. And I could go back and re-preach and restate and I could spend the whole service this morning right there again. But I believe the Lord would have us to go a little further in the message this morning. We've looked at this. And I'm just going to bump these and I'm going to get to where we're at and we're going to bog in again. First of all, we talked about how that to turn exposure into experience requires moral preparation. Moral preparation. She was a virgin. She was pure. She made choices to be clean. Don't let the devil put a bunch of baggage and sin and your scars and regrets in your life that'll hinder you from serving the Lord. And let me just add on to that right there. Felt like God wanted me to. In case you are here today and there is baggage in your life, and guess what? I know someone that'll say, let me have that. Let me carry that baggage. Let me deal with that in your life. Don't listen to the devil and say it's over. You've blown it. It's history. You're never gonna rise above this. Don't ever listen to that. But make good choices in your life. Moral preparation. Number two, mental contemplation. The Bible says there in chapter number one, how that when the Gabriel had spoke to her, that she was troubled, verse 29, at his saying and cast in her mind what salutation this should be. She began to think. You'll never allow exposure to become experience if you don't think about it and give mental consent and mental approval. Number three, not only moral preparation and mental contemplation, but there was a powerful illustration. My friend Gabriel used Elizabeth here in verse number 36 to show Mary, look what I've done in others that was deemed impossible, that was measured impossible, that was declared and defined as impossible. But look what I did in them, and now look what I want to do in you. Well, I'm glad for those people in my life in 30 years, not just 30 years, but even before that, those godly people that I was exposed to that showed me a godly life, that showed me the power of God, that showed me the presence of God in their life. Oh, thank God for that. My grandmother was one such person that exposed me to God years before that I was ever saved. I want to tell you, I could look in her life and I knew she had something. Amen. Why? Because it surfaced. It's a good indication you got something if it surfaces. If you can keep it folded up and put in an envelope stuck in the secret part of your life, it's not much. But I'll tell you, if God gets to work it in you, He's going to seep out the cracks. Amen. He'll break out on you like the measles. But there was a powerful illustration. Well, I remember preaching that, and that's still working in my heart. Number four, there is a willful acceptation. Willful acceptation. That is, she come to the place unforced, no pressure, hand wasn't tied, no threat of a kicking or a beating, but yet she willfully, voluntarily said, be it unto me, according to thy word, I accept it. Amen. The statement was made this morning. Brother Silas did. He made the statement. And I'm not discrediting the statement. I just want to add to the statement. He quoted a verse of Scripture. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Did you know the truth cannot make you free without consent? The truth of God cannot work in your life, my friend, where there's rebellion and where there's disobedience, where there's rejection. Listen, you can hear it preached, you can hear it taught and sung. My friend, you can read it yourself, but until you bring your will to the place where you say to the truth, I want to experience it. I allow it. I permit it. I desire it. I want it. The truth of God is hindered. It's not what you know that sets you free. A lot of us knows a whole lot about truth, but it's not what you know that sets you free. It's what you allow to go from knowledge to experience that sets you free. Amen. All right, let's go on. I don't want to get hung up right there. Number five. We talked about this last week, and I'm telling you, that is still working in my heart. And I appreciate everybody that's commented and given notes and letters to me, letting know that God spoke to you and that God helped you and that God's been ministering to you through this. That encourages me. But we talked about also it involved not only those that I mentioned, but also involved a physical instrumentation. God is basically saying to Mary, I want to use your body. I want to use your body on earth right now for God's will and God's plan. I'm not going to go back and re-preach that because I want to get on this next one. But I do want to state very clearly that there is no teaching in the Bible of a Christianity that excludes the body. No, you can't find it. For every verse that could even be twisted out of context to show that, there's several in context to show that God uses your body. And we talked about that, how that even God, you gave Jesus a body to make the spiritual visual. You can't see a spirit, but I'll tell you, you put a spirit in a body, that body reveals the actions of the spirit. And the Holy Spirit's inside you, and we preached on that, you remember that. If you can get the tape, but I'll tell you, God said we're to glorify Him in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. But all right, let's move on to number six. This is where we've left off and where we're going to pick up today, starting in verse 39, down through verse 44. Notice the Bible says, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which are told her from the Lord. Now I want you to notice a couple of things here, and I'll announce what my point is that I want to preach on this morning, or at least begin. Notice how that she, after hearing the word, submitted to the word and said, be it unto me according to thy word. She arose. You don't find where God told her, said, now get up. I want you to go and find Elizabeth, and I want you to go tell her what's going on. No. What comes with that submission to God is a desire. Point number six, there is vocal declaration. You will want to tell it. Amen. If you want to keep it silent, it'll never be your experience. How can you experience God and keep it silent and keep it a secret? You'll want to tell it. Amen. Oh, I guarantee you that if you met some big name, somebody in this world's eyes, you'd probably tell a bunch of people about it. You'd probably want your photograph. You'd probably have a signature. You'd probably whatever. You'd probably brag about, hey, I met so-and-so the other day. Or so-and-so called me. Or so I seen so-and-so. Are you listening? Why? Because that was an experience that meant something to you. But it's amazing to me how many hundreds of thousands of people in the world today claim to have had an experience with God and never speak a word about it. And they're not all in Jerusalem and Rome and Italy and Europe and Germany. They're here right inside this building this morning. Some of them. Never say a word. Never say a word about what the Lord has done for you. Amen. John chapter 9. Remember the man born blind? Jesus healed him. And they was all in question about how it happened and who did it and all of that. They was asking his mom. He's 30 years old. They was asking the mom and dad. And they said, hey, he's of age. Ask him. And they didn't corner that young man over there and say, hey, tell me about it. Tell me about it. Please tell me about it. And threaten him and all that. No. As soon as they asked him, buddy, he started telling. He didn't tell what he didn't. He didn't tell what he didn't know. He said, you know, there's some things I don't know. I know not, he said. But he said, one thing I know.
That's right.
I was blind, but now I see.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And Jesus did it. I'm going to tell you, friend, you don't have to be saved 6 weeks to have a testimony. My friend, if you've been saved 6 minutes, you've got a testimony. Amen.
Right.
That's right. A testimony is not given a theological discourse. A testimony is you telling the past facts of what has happened to you and its effect in your life now. Look here. Look at verse number. She arose in haste in verse number 39. And she went in the hill country with haste. I believe you could see in that word haste there was an element of excitement there. Hey, can I tell you this morning that sadness is not a sign of spirituality? Sadness and quietness is not a sign of spirituality in the sense of what God has done for you. She arose, not been told to, she arose in haste. And watch this. She arose and went into the hill country. Now watch that. That would have discouraged most people. You mean to tell me I'm going to have to climb before I can testify, before I can tell somebody? I'm going to have to deal with this mountain. I'm going to have to deal with these hills. And I'm going to have to... Some have a problem with this fact right here. She arose and went. Yeah, a lot of people have a problem with that. They're not going to tell nobody because they've not done the went. Well, they've not done the arising part and they've not done the going part. Watch this. Amen. I'm talking about a vocal declaration. She arose with haste. There was excitement. There was excitement. She arose, and look at here, verse 40. And entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And we know that was verbal. We know that was a verbal thing because of the next verse. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary. How many has heard your salutation, your greeting, your declaration, your testimony? Oh, I know there's some people in the world today that are, what do you call it when you can't speak? Mute, or deaf and dumb or whatever, and they can't speak. I understand it, but they still talk in their own language. They do sign language. God, my friend, wants it told what He's done for you. You listen, I believe I'm right here. I believe the reason a lot of people are not telling it, I believe they're lacking the experience. I believe they're lacking the experience. Amen? Now listen, salvation is an initial experience, but it's also a continual experience. Salvation is not in my life hemmed up 30 years ago on January the 20th, 1981. That's not, no, friend. I still am enjoying the benefits and the life and the blessing of being saved. Testifying about being saved is not just about the day you got saved. It's about all that goes on after that. All that goes on after that. And I'll tell you, if you walk it, you'll want to talk it. If you live it, you'll want to lip it, if you put it that way, man. There's a vocal declaration. There's excitement. You'll never talk about what's big, not big to you. Come on now. If a ball team's big to you, you'll talk about it. If a hobby's big to you, you'll talk about it. If a relationship is big to you, you'll talk about it. Hey man, come on now. If any other interest is big to you, you'll talk about it. And if that is true in every sense of the word in our life, why is it that we're not talking about the greatest subject that has ever come into human being, and that is Jesus Christ and being saved. The exposure became experience when she began to talk about it. Now watch this. She wasn't even showing when she started talking. She didn't wait till she was waddling. Come on, mamas. She didn't wait till she, you know, walked with lean back because a lot of weight was out there, you know, and it was very evident that she was expecting. No, soon as she got the word, and she submitted to it. Oh, watch this. Soon as she submitted to it, her faith made it real to her that it was so. She didn't have to wait, Brother Henry, till Jesus was born. It was real to her. Faith makes the things of God real to you. When God said it, she believed it and claimed it and made it real in her life. And she had to tell somebody about it. I'm going to tell you who's the author of silence. It's a devil, friend. 30 years I've been saved this week. I tell you, there's been many times the devil's tried to silence me. Y'all better listen to this preacher. The devil wants to silence your voice for the Lord. He doesn't want to silence your voice of complaining and murmuring and dirty joke telling and cussing and singing ungodly music and doing things like that. No, he don't want, and listen, he don't want to silence you about that using words that are un-Christ-like and unclean and unholy. He don't want to silence them, but he certainly wants to silence your praise. He certainly wants to silence your worship. And worship is vocal. It's not only vocal, but it will be vocal. And it involves a vocal declaration. Her excitement gave way to an expression, which gave way to an effect. Soon as she started telling it, people was getting blessed. Soon as she started telling it, my friend Elizabeth got happy. John the Baptist inside of her got happy. The babe leaped inside of her. The Bible said Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. You know why the devil wants you to be quiet? Rob others of blessings. God wants to take your verbalized experience. God wants to take that and use that to bless other people. Amen. You say, preacher, they get tired of hearing it. I never get tired of hearing it. I mean, I've heard y'all tell about your experience of being getting saved multiple times, several of you. Some of you I've never heard. Amen. I'd like to hear about it. I'd like to hear sometime about when you got saved. Tell me about before you got saved. I mean, you don't have to go in details of how heathenistic you were and all of that, but I'd like to know about when you got under conviction. I'd like to know when God first started turning the light on in your heart and started dealing with you and started showing you that you needed Him. I'd like to hear that. I believe when Mary went in that room at Elizabeth's house, I believe she started from the first point. I believe she started back when I was minding my own business, wasn't looking for nothing, expecting nothing, and all of a sudden there was a God-sent message and messenger in my life, exposing me to the big plan and purpose of God. And I submitted to it and surrendered to it, and it's a done deal. It's going to happen. Buddy, she was blessed. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And you know what? It's not one-sided. Elizabeth began to turn it back, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou." In other words, you bless me, I'm going to bless you. I tell you what, to help our church is if everybody starts blessing everybody. Amen. And a good indication that you're going to get blessed is that you're doing the blessing.
Amen. Mary didn't get, Mary blessed them. Mary told what God had done. Amen. Well, here's what I like. Mary did the talking. God did the blessing. She was filled with the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist leaked in her mother's womb. His mother's womb. Hey, I want to tell you, friend, God was doing that. You tell it, God's going to work in somebody's life. God's going to work in somebody's life. Are you listening? Hey, I want to tell you, I believe the devil targets this generation, this upcoming generation. The devil's targeting your children. He wants you to get quiet so that children won't know. But I promise you, this is true, that if you're quiet, or is your experience with God, mama and daddy and grandparents, if you're silent about your experience with God, there's going to be a lot of young kids that'll know nothing about leaping for joy. There'll be a lot of other kids that won't know nothing about that spiritual anointing, that spiritual touch, and that spiritual happening. If they don't hear you telling about Jesus, they'll have all listening ears for the world to tell about their garbage and trash. Amen. Amen. Boy, it's a needful thing. And I'm determined, by the grace of God, I'm determined the devil's not going to silence my voice. I'm determined by the grace of God. But there is vocal declaration. Boy, this is so good. I've got more to preach on this than I could get preached. But I don't want to bore you with it. But I do know this, that word voice, she heard that voice, verse 44, and as soon as the voice of thy salutation. I just want to ask a question this morning. Does your spirituality have a voice? Does the work of God in you have a voice? Does the will of God in you have a voice? That same word here used, voice, in verse 44 is also used, I mean, hundreds of times. But I went back and looked and I found that it was used also in Matthew 3 and 17. You know what that is? That's about John. Listen, I'm going to read it to you. That's about John the Baptist, isn't it? Huh? That's about John the Baptist. You know what it says about him? He was a voice crying in the wilderness. See, that's right. Oh, come on now. A lot of people don't. That's why a lot of people is not wanting to do the talking part, is because they don't want to be a voice. See, you can't see a voice. You can hear a voice, but you can't see a voice. See, a lot of people don't want that. They want to be seen. Amen. They want to be seen. But he said, I'm a voice crying in the wilderness. And look what God intended to do with John and through John by the use of his voice. And you know what his voice was? The voice was his experience. The voice was his experience. Are you listening? It was also used on the Mount of Transfiguration when they heard, Peter, James, and John heard a loud voice that said, this is my beloved son. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about God intends to use your voice. Amen. Right. Witnessing is visual, but it's also vocal. Right. Yes, amen. Right. Amen. So there is vocal declaration. And I want to move on. And not that I'm necessarily done with that one, but I feel strong that I need to get on this next one. And may not get no further. We may just interrupt right here, but I do want to get on this next one because I feel strong about it, that it needs to be this morning. Verse number 45, not only, and I'll just go through these, moral preparation, mental contemplation, powerful illustration, willful acceptation, physical instrumentation, vocal declaration, but in verse 45, man, this blessed my heart. Look at that in our text, verse number 45. Look what it said. This is what Elizabeth said to her. This is what Elizabeth said to her. And blessed is she that believed. Watch this next statement. For there shall be a performance. There shall be a performance. There shall be a performance.
Look at it. There shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Man, that word performance jumped off the page at me. That word performance, and here's our next point. It requires a supernatural activation. In other words, what God had exposed Mary to, God wasn't depending on Mary to do it. What God had exposed Mary to, what looked to be impossible. Looked to be impossible. And it was impossible for Mary, but not impossible for God. And I don't know about you, but listen, this Bible can expose you and I to some mighty big things. Amen. When God, listen, when God calls for you to be saved, He's not asking for you to save yourself. He's not asking for you to work and do and remodel and none of those things. He's not asking you to do none of those things, my friend, so that He can save you. He's wanting you to present your willingness for Him to do the work in you. Salvation is of the Lord. It's not what you do. It's what He does. And that's not just true in spirit in salvation. But it's also the plan of God. God is saying, if you'll allow me, I can work my purpose and my plan in you, on you, and through you. Now I'm going to ask you a simple question this morning. Do you think what we're seeing done in churches today is all that God wants to do? I believe everybody should be able to say, no way. Because the truth is, in most churches, the majority of churches today, it's very evident that God is doing very little. In fact, most, if not all, that goes on in most churches today could be done without God. I want to ask you something. Where is the supernatural activation? Where is the activity of God supernaturally in the life of a believer, no, regardless to their age, where God is working in you? Many of you, most of you in this building tonight, this morning claim to be saved. I want to ask you all a question, making it just a general statement, and you apply it. If you're saved, where is the working of God in you? Philippians 2:40 is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His own good pleasure. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, friend, 6,000 years ago, God stepped out on nothing, and my friend created, and we see it. It's the handiwork of God. It's the fingerprints of God. God worked, and there's evidence of it. God cannot work in your life, and there not be evidence. Where's the working of God at in your life? Say amen right there. I mean, where's the working of God on you? He ought to still be changing you. Where's the working of God in you? And where's the working of God through you? Elizabeth said to Mary, Mary, I want you to know that there's going to be a performance of those things which were told you from the Lord. Oh, I want to tell you, listen, regardless to how big it is that God exposes you to, regardless to what it is from this word that God exposes you to, it is not too big for God to perform. For what He's promised, He's able to perform. I think it was pretty big when God told Abraham He's going to have a boy, him 100 years old. And Sarah was what, 90? That looked pretty big. The Romans tells us that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Amen? He believed God. Could he explain it? No. Did it look possible? No. But God said it, and if God said it, surely God can back it up. And Abraham said, hallelujah, I believe it, and God did it.
Amen. Oh, listen. I'm talking about, listen, you know what experience is? Listen to this. You know what experience is? God performing in you. That's what experience is. Where's the testimonies today of God's working in you? Or working on you? Or working through you? When's the last time? I mean, think about it. Listen, of course, creation is a good illustration. Is it difficult to see God's handiwork in creation? I mean, there's no other explanation. I mean, it's evident. In other words, that's a work of God. And it's big and it's visible and it's evident and it's enduring. Amen? Hey, where's the work of God in our life? You know why a lot of people don't... The previous point I talked about, vocal declaration. You know why a lot of people's not telling nothing? Not nothing to tell. Not nothing to tell. Amen? You say, preacher, church is boring. It will be without the experience of God. Amen. Serving God is boring, preacher. It's boring. It will be without the experience of God. The experience of God, Brother McCarricker, is the divine, daily, practical performance of God in your life. Oh, when God called me to preach on February, well, I surrendered on February the 2nd. I want to tell you, I couldn't do that. I couldn't. I said, God, I can't preach. I preached my first message and everybody is convinced I couldn't. And I'm telling you, it was pretty pathetic. But I still, my friend, felt God in that effort. Surrendering to God and just stepping up and getting out of my comfort zone and doing what I'd never done before and stepping in the pulpit and preach. And I mean, listen, I'm there's no telling what all I said and didn't say that would half wasn't even accurate. But boy, the Lord blessed it. Blessed it in me. I couldn't do that. And I still can't do that. Brother James, I've heard Brother James say it several times to me. He said, preacher, there's no way a human being, a man in and of themselves can preach. There's no way, friend. I'm telling you, there's absolutely no way that a person could do this preaching, and this, I'm just using that because it's my life, but preaching is a spiritual task and requires spiritual enablement and spiritual power. There's no way that I could get personal with you not knowing nothing about what's going on in your life. And oh, I've seen that. I've done that. I've had it done to me. Here preaching and they're preaching and they're reading my mail. They're saying everything but my name. Say, somebody told them. Yes, the Holy Ghost. Amen. But there is a supernatural activation. Look at the will of God for your life. Look what God's exposed you to. You say, preacher, I just can't do it. I just can't surrender that. I just can't submit to that. I just can't do that. Preacher, is it you can't or that you won't? I think it looks pretty impossible for God to produce a virgin-born child. I believe that's pretty impossible, wouldn't you say? But all He needs is somebody that'll say, be it unto me according to thy word. And that puts into motion the activity of God. In a few minutes, I'm going to get in that car out there, Brother John. There's no way I could push that thing to the house. Why would I even want to when it's got a motor and a transmission and the drivetrain? And amen. Why? I mean, even though the car has all of the potential and all of the power to get me to the house, it'll sit out there till I put a key in it. Until I crank it. Until I mash the gas. Until I do the steering. Are you listening? I'm talking about God is looking for somebody. God is looking for a young man. God's looking for a boy. God's looking for a girl. Mama, daddy, God's looking for somebody that'll just say, Lord, use me. You're the one that's going to do it.
But I want to give you permission to do it through me and to do it in me. Notice what Mary said in her description of this in verse 49. Look what Mary said. You know what her testimony was on this supernatural activation? He that is mighty hath done to me great things. Amen. I mean, you look at the task out there and it looks impossible. You think about RBT, putting the gospel around the world, looks impossible. So, preacher, we're not big enough. I'd say Mary was real small. I'd say Mary was, she could have been anywhere in the six, she could have been in the 16-year-old range. And I'd say she probably soaking wet. I'm just guessing, don't have no verses on it. I'd say she probably didn't weigh 100 pounds, 110 pounds, 20 pounds at most. Little thing. But it's not her size. It's not her ability. My friend, amen. It's not her. It's not you. It's not me. It's God working in us. God working through us. If we will just say, do it, Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. Well, I can't do that, preacher. God's dealt with me about separation, preacher, but I can't do that. God's dealt with me about sanctification, preacher, but I can't do that. God's dealt with me about sacrifice and giving this up and quitting that. But preacher, I can't do that. God's dealt with me about service, preacher. God wants me to go here and do this, and God wants me to do that. But preacher, I can't do that. Now, faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. God is looking for somebody that will say yes to God. Amen. Look what Gabriel's announcement of this supernatural activation was. Look at verse 35. Mary even asked the question in verse 34. You know, okay, I know that this is what you're wanting to do, and you told me that he's going to be called Jesus, and he's going to be great, and all this. But how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? How am I going to do this? How can this happen? And Gabriel said, the Holy Ghost, verse 35, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Hey, you know what God is saying to Mary? Mary, the Holy Ghost is going to do it. If you'll give him the body, he'll give you the power. If you give him the vessel, God will give you the power. God, the Holy Ghost is going to work on you and work in you and do it. Amen. Same thing's true of the lost people and like Darwin and Hitler and all them bunch of heathens. You know what they did? They submitted to the powers of hell. Brother Alice, you brought it out in Sunday school this morning that Darwin wasn't even a scientist. Ain't that something? But yet, the devil used him to corrupt our whole world. Are you listening? God, listen, the devil used, what was her name? Madeline O'Hare? Get prayer and everything thrown out of schools. One person. The voice of one person. Are you listening? It's not what you can do. It's not what, listen, even those illustrations with the devil. Listen, it's not what those individuals can do. They've got to submit to him. They've got to submit to him and expose themselves to him and experience him. And then the devil works through them as a result. Same thing's true with being saved, being filled with the Holy Spirit. If we're filled with the Spirit, means we're possessed. The power, Brother Henry, don't come to us because we possess the Spirit. The power comes when we are possessed by the Spirit. When the Spirit is saturating us and controlling us and influencing our life, Are you listening? Listen, some of you need to hear this. Because some of you, my friend, are exposed to the will of God for your life. And it's bigger than you can possibly conquer and possibly bigger than you can imagine. And if you're not careful, you'll try to pull your little measuring tape out and measure it and what you could do and all of this and what you want to do and what you think and what you feel. I will tell you what's the truth, buddy. If you'll let God work in you and let God work through you, it may not go according to the flesh, and no doubt it will not. But I want to tell you what, God can do big things. I counseled a few years ago with a married couple in this town. I wouldn't give you a dime for their marriage. I mean, it was as far gone as it could be. It was over. I mean, it was absolute, for everything I could see, it was over. I spent hours and hours and hours and hours and hours at their house talking with them at all hours of the night. I mean, I got tired fooling with it. I'll just be honest with you, in the flesh, I got tired fooling with it. Because nothing I said went nowhere, seemed like. Just seemed like, you know. And then it's all of a sudden, God just done a work in the woman. And God done a work in the man. And next thing you know, my friend, they're serving God and doing the will of God and living happily ever after. And I said, Lord, help. I said, you know, that was impossible. There wouldn't be one marriage out of a million, hardly, that would have survived what had hit that home. I want to tell you what happened was, the wife got to pray, and instead of God change my husband, she got to pray, because I asked him. I said, what did you do? She said, I got to pray, and God changed me. As long as she was, it was always him and him and him, it never worked. But when she got to saying, Lord, no matter what you do in him, change me. God changed her. And then God started changing him. And changed both of them. And they're still happily married today, serving God. Are you listening? I'm talking about impossible. We've seen some pretty impossible things here at the church. It looked like it was over. It looked like it was about gone. And God supernaturally just began to work. Working this one, working that one, working this one, and send this one in, working that. And here we are today. Not by my doings, not by my endurance. Brother Ronald, this church has survived many storms, many trials, and many difficulties. I'll tell you why. Because of the divine performance of God. RBT will never, as long as I can have any dealings with it, draw attention to ourselves. We're never going to boast of, look at RBT. Man, aren't we something. We about got there years ago. We about got there and it about killed us. I mean, it about gotten me. I mean, it about gotten me. I made stupid statements. I made a statement from the pulpit one Sunday morning. I'm talking about years ago, stupid, ignorant. I made the statement, RBT is the only church in this whole area that's trying to do right. If that ain't about ignorant. Are you listening? You know what that's called? Phariseeism. I remember making a statement back years ago. I mean years ago. I'm glad I've learned better. I remember about our landscaping out there. I still remember it. Those two that stand at those juniper on a standards, what they're called. I said, even our flower beds got standards. You know? I said, praise God, even we got standards in our shrubbery, amen. You know, just, I mean, that's what they're called, but I was using it to boast. I was using it to say, hey, praise God, look at our church, man. And I want to tell you what, friend, we come a hair losing the power of God through that time frame. People stand up and testifying, well, I don't do this no more, and I don't do that no more. And you could feel it. It wasn't the testimonies of glory and praise of God. It was look at me stuff. And I mean, it was grieving the Holy Ghost something awful. I want to tell you, dear friend, if RBT has ever done anything, is doing anything, or ever will do anything, it'll be the divine activation of God. It'll be a divine performance of God. And oh, listen, friend, what God has done is wonderful and what He is doing. I praise Him, but I want to tell you, it's a drop in the bucket compared to what He wants to do. He's waiting on somebody that'll say, "Be it unto me according to Thy word." And that person that says that one day will stand up and say, "He that is mighty hath done great things to me." A performance. A divine performance. I feel like that's all the Lord wanted me to deal with this morning. And here's a word I'm going to give to you while Miss Paul Sue's coming. I like that word, verse 31 and also verse 36. Look at this word. On that point of supernatural activation, look at that word, verse 31, and behold. Do you see that? Gabriel saying to Mary, "Behold, thou," or saying to Mary, "Thou shalt conceive. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." Behold. In other words, that word behold means watch. Mary, watch. Watch me do it. Watch God do it. Oh, I want to tell you, you're talking about watching something that's wonderful. Watch God work in you. You young people, let God work in you. Let God work in you. Let God work. Behold. And later in life, or even at times in life, you'll still be able to stand up and testify, you know, "Not unto us. Not unto us, O Lord. Not unto us. It's not me. It's not us. It's not us. It's not us." Behold. Just tell people, what kind of ministry y'all have? What's the secret down there at RBT? Just tell them, say, "We've got a beholding ministry." "We've just got a beholding ministry." What do you mean beholding? We just submit to God and surrender to God and yield to God and say yes to God. And we just sit back and say, "Hey, man, watch God work." I believe God is hindered in a lot of things. I believe He's hindered on answering some prayers. I believe He's hindered in working in some young people. I believe He's hindered in saving people because of folk that have not dealt with things in their life. And what you've dealt, listen, what you've been exposed to and you know to be the will of God. You know what the will of God is concerning situations. But if you're not careful, listen to this preacher, if you're not careful, you'll let feelings dictate your decision. "Well, preacher, I'm aggravated. Well, preacher, I'm upset." If you're not careful, that'll get in the driver's seat and you'll make some wrong moves. Always remember this, it's not about you. This whole situation, it wasn't about Mary. It was about Jesus. Amen. Watch God work. A divine performance. A supernatural activation. God is just needing somebody that'll say yes to Him. Would you stand with me, please? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name to the throne of grace today. Lord, I pray that these altars will fill up with young boys and girls, teenagers, moms, dads, that'll bring themselves to the Lord and say, "Lord, here am I. Lord, don't let me trust my feelings. Lord, don't let me trust my reasoning. Lord, don't let me trust what I feel and think. But God, may I know what You want and yield to it. Though difficult, though big, though impossible as it may seem, God can perform those things which are told, which are exposed to us. God can do that. Lord, there's some folk in the building needs to bring their impossibilities to Jesus. Lord, there's some folk in the building today needs to bring their difficulties to Jesus and say, "Lord, I can't do it. I can't do it no more than Mary could produce a child on her own. I can't do this, Lord. It's too big. It's too great. It's too taxing. It's too impossible. I just can't do it. But Lord, I believe that if there'll be those getting the altar and say, Lord, I don't know how you can do it. I don't know how can this be. But Lord, I surrender to you and I submit to you. Lord, it doesn't matter what others think or say. I want you to work in my life, and I want you to work in my heart, and I want you to work in my children, and I want you to work in my home. I want you to work. Lord, this whole story that I've been preaching on for several services, this whole story had a hinge point. It all depended on Mary saying, be it unto me according to thy word. Lord, have your way this morning. In Jesus' name I pray.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.